So, Father, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. And, Lord, I just thank you that as your word goes out, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. And, Lord, in all that is said and all that is done here this morning, may the name of Jesus be exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you here this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, folks. I started a series last week that is titled The Creative Power of Words. So last week was part one. Today is part two. And all going well, there won't be a part three. We'll finish today. All right. So we're going to finish this today. But I said last week that this message on the words that we speak, that we have all heard it before. Isn't that right? At some point in your Christian walk, you have heard the message on words and how powerful the words are that we actually speak. But the problem is that we hear that message and we do not apply it. And really, I trust that after today and after going back and listening to what I said last week, that we will not only hear these messages, but we start to apply them in our own lives so that we may have a peaceful, good life. Because, folks, there are so many times that we say stuff that is a snare to our lives. And we'll look at some of those scriptures here this morning. So what does the Bible say about the words that we speak? What does the Bible say about the words that actually come out of our mouths? Now, I shared last week James 1 verse 26. It says, if a person thinks that he is religious, or a person thinks that they are a Christian, or maybe that they think they are a good Christian, right? But can't control his tongue, he is fooling himself. Then it says, can we turn off phones, please? Then it says, that person's religion or that person's Christianity is worthless. Folks, those are very strong words. Very strong words that James gives us right there. So if we go out there and we give our tongues freedom to say anything, to speak anything, if we allow our tongue just to, or mouths just to open and to say anything, it will not only deceive our own heart, right? But our religion, our Christianity, who we stand for, Jesus, who we stand for, becomes unprofitable, not only to us, the Bible says, but to other people as well. So our religion, remember, is not what we do. Our religion is who we are. And we are children of the Most High. We are called by His name. We're called Christians. So, and it's all about you and I having a relationship with our Creator. So when we say stuff that we shouldn't be saying, especially as believers, folks, we begin to look like absolute hypocrites when who we say we are is compromised by what comes out of our mouth. Remember, unbelievers are looking at you. They are looking at you and how you and I actually conduct ourselves. So from this, we can see that the words that we speak have power. We create with our words. I said last week that God himself, when he created, he spoke things into existence. Isn't that correct? He said, let there be light. And then the word of God says that you and I have been created in his image. So that means if we are created in his image, and we're just like him, when we speak, folks, we are creating something. And that is why this message, I believe, is so important. So let's have a look. Today I want to do something a little different. Last week I laid a foundation for, you know, kind of what I want to share here today. So what I'm going to do today is just take a whole lot of random scriptures out of the Word of God that speak about the words that we say and what comes out of our mouth. So we're going to be moving all over the place. And really, it's a great consolidation of all the words or the scriptures about our words. Matthew 12:37 says, For by your words you have been justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. By your words you are justified. Do you remember what Derek says? If you listen to Derek, those podcasts that I put out every day. Justified. It's just as if I'd. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that amazing? So that is Matthew 12 verse 37. So for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And Jesus speaks here concerning idle words. Those idle words. Those words that are absolutely thoughtless, that we allow to come out of our mouths. And basically what Jesus is saying, that some of these things that we are saying are really, really evil. And we shouldn't be saying them. And folks, also when you read that, it actually shows that God takes notice of every single word that we say. Every word. And even those words that you and I forget about and that we might not be mindful of. Verse 36 of Matthew 12 says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment." So there is going to be a day of judgment. We know that. So on that day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every careless word that they have spoken. Every careless word that we have spoken, we're going to have to give an account for that. Every thoughtless word that we have spoken, every foolish word that we have spoken, right? Every idle word, every worthless word that we have spoken, you and I are, according to what he says there, we're going to have to give an account of that. So maybe today is a good time that we start to change what comes out of our mouths. Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There are some whose uncontrolled talk is like the wounds of a sword." Right? A sword, what does a sword do? A sword, when you are using a sword, it's plunged into people, it stabs people, it hurts people, it destroys people. Is that right? If you use a sword properly. "Whose uncontrolled talk is like the wounds of a sword." But then it also says, "But the tongue of the wise makes one well again." So there's a comparison. There's a, you know, you can either use your tongue for good or you use it for evil. So you either speak in death or you speak in life. It is either poison or it is medicine. And that all depends on how we use our tongue. So these words, you know, when we're talking about a sword, you know, it's cutting. It's actually killing. It's a piercing sword. That's what a sword does. It actually pierces. Now, folks, slanderers. Thank goodness there's not one of us in this place that's a slanderer. Praise our Lord. Isn't God good to us? But you know what a slander is? Okay, let me just tell you before I read, you know. A slanderer is somebody that says something about somebody else that does not make them look good. For example, Amanda and I are having a chat, right? And in our chat, like often people do, they start talking about people. Of course, none of us here. All right? Okay. They start talking about people. Now, Amanda and I are talking, and say we are talking, who can I pick on? Who can we talk about? Huh? Bill. We're talking about Bill. So Amanda and I are talking about Bill, and we're having a long chat about Bill. Let me tell you something, that the things that I've told Amanda about Bill, when Amanda leaves me, when he's no longer talking to me and he walks away, if Amanda has now a lower impression of Bill, now after he's spoken to me, I've slandered Bill. That's it. Simple. So, you know, I'm talking to him. Now, if you think less of Bill now, once you've spoken to me, I've actually slandered Bill. And folks, the Word of God says it should not be like that. Slanderous. Like a sword. Wound the reputation of the people that they are gossiping about. But the problem with this is that sometimes That wound is so deep. Sometimes that wound is so bad that it is beyond repair. It is beyond repair. Because I might be talking, you know, with Amanda right here, right? And he goes and tells two or three people about what I said, about Bill, right? And those two or three people, they know Bill, and they start talking about Bill. And everybody's talking. Next thing, there's, you know how it goes? It's like these people that are hooked on Facebook pages, right? You put something out, the next thing, 5,000 people know. Folks, when that thing goes out, you cannot, those words cannot be caught. There are 5,000 people that now have heard what I've said to him, and it gets on. And the problem is that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and worse and worse and worse. That's it. By the time it gets to the last guys, man, it's like that broken telephone. It's just an absolute mess. But all it is dishonoring Bill over there. Right? And the problem with words is that once they have been spoken, you cannot run after those 5,000 people and try to pick them up and, you know, put them back in the mouth. They're out there. They're out there. So sometimes it is, the wound is so bad, once a person has slandered another person, that it is beyond repair. And we need to, as believers, be so mindful of this. So this thing of whispering and gossiping and talking evil, it's like a sword that actually comes in and it actually divides. It divides people. Love, you know, people that at one point in time loved one another, right? People that were friends at one point are now divided. You know, it even separates those that are so close together, like family members. When you have a chat to people where there is, you know, people in the family, they're not talking to each other. Just go back to what something said. Somebody said something. Is that true? It's the words that we actually speak. So even in families, we have to be so careful of this, folks. What does the Lord want for us? He wants us to live in peace and to get on with all people. So the tongue now, that was the negative side where it slanders. Then it's also can be used for positive, right? Good things. The tongue of the wise, the Bible says, is health. Words that people that speak that are wise people are healthy words normally, right? It closes up the wounds of the slandering tongue might have made out there. The words of the wise will fix those things. The words of the wise makes whole again. The words of the wise restores peace. The words of the wise, where there is reconciliation, where there's encouragement and all of these things. Those are the words that will come out of wise people's mouths. The Message Bible, which we refer to from time to time, okay, we don't preach from the Message because it's really, what's the word? Yeah, that word. All right. No, but sometimes it actually gives us a good, how can I say, it unpacks a verse very, very well. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says this. It says, words kill. Our words. Words kill. Then it says, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. And then it says, you choose. In other words, we have got a decision to make about what we allow to come out of our mouths. So, you know, your words can do a great deal of good, but your words can also do a great deal of hurt as well, hurting other people. And the problem is that the person that is a slanderer is also hurting himself. Okay? So, folks, we have to make decisions when it comes to what we allow out of our mouths. In Proverbs 21:23, it says, he who guards his mouth. What does that mean? It means that we are mindful of what we allow to come out. Is that right? He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Another translation says, keeps himself from trouble. So you had better know, if that scripture is right, that there is trouble and there is calamity just around the corner. Just around the corner, waiting for you and waiting for me as well. Okay? When it comes to what we allow to come out of our mouths, if we start to speak negative stuff. Do you know what? I mean, every one of us, well, I'd say most of us here today, are born again. You know, we are children of the Most High God. We've accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But it's interesting, when you read in the Bible how we get saved, Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, that means you're saying something. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we can see, even our salvation, folks, even our salvation, all right, God wants us to declare, make a declaration. That's how we get saved. So God wants us to confess. God wants us to be those who speak out aloud what he has done for us. The amazing things, like we heard some of the testimonies here this morning. And he places a huge amount of importance of the thing on the things that we actually say. A huge amount of importance on our words. So God wants to hear his word, the Bible, the written word, rolling off our tongues and rolling off our lips, and that we speak life into situations, right? And so whatever is in your heart, this is very interesting. Okay, now I hope we all tune into this one. Whatever is in your heart, the word says, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now that's so interesting. When you connect, I don't know if you ever do this, you connect with people that you don't really know, you've never met, you know, now you've kind of been introduced to them, you're having a chat to them, you throw a few questions out there, and in no time, you will know what's on the inside of their heart. And that scripture, I've seen it being proved accurate time and time and time again. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if your heart is full of bitterness, if your heart is full of resentment, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Is that true? It's going to come out. It comes out in the form of words, right? I'll say that scripture again, and then I'll show it in the Bible. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, in other words, what's really inside, the mouth speaks. It's going to come out of our mouths. So I need to say to us, we need to make sure, really make sure, that what comes out of our mouths is good, is edifying, is uplifting. Is that true? Okay. Because, why I'm saying that, because it shows your heart. It shows your heart. Rather zip it than allow that stuff that hasn't been dealt with in our own hearts to come out of our mouths. Amen? Right. Very important. Let me read that scripture to you. Now, this is Jesus speaking in Matthew 12:33. He says, make a tree good and its fruit's good. Does that make sense? In other words, you see yourself as a farmer. So you go and plant an orange tree, but you give it lots of nutrients, you give it lots of fertilizer, you give it lots of whatever it needs. And that will be a good tree, and because it's a good tree, it will bear good fruit. Then Jesus says, make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. So if you got another orange tree, right, it's in that part of the farm that, I mean, it's all rocky, and you don't nurture it, and you don't look after it, it will be a bad tree, and it will give bad fruit. It's then, why is this? For the tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. Now, folks, there's a scripture that says that unbelievers will know you and me by the fruit in our own lives. Isn't that amazing? Are we demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit when we are out there in this lost and dying world, do people see Christ in you, the hope of glory? Or are we only like, you know, kind of disciplined when we gather together as believers, we sit in church and we all not like, you know, nice and churchy and we're all good and we all say the right thing, but we get out there and we start to look like the world? We have to be honest with ourselves. Adjustments have to be made in our own lives. So he says here, the reason, for the tree is known by its fruit. In other words, you and I are known by our fruit. Then Jesus says, you brood of vipers. You know, he's so diplomatic, isn't he? Huh? Jesus, and look, I haven't seen the context of this, but I can assure you it's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say, there it is, speaking, say anything good? Then he says this, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. What's in the heart? The mouth speaks. When there's good stuff in there, there's love and there's compassion and there's joy and there's peace, right? That's what comes out of our mouths. When there's resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, that is what comes out of our mouths. That's what he says. Another scripture. This is how we're jumping around here this morning. Proverbs 6:2. It says, you, that's you and I, you are trapped with the words you said. That's past tense. In other words, words have come out of our mouths and we are trapped by those words. He says, you are trapped with the words you said. You are ensnared by the words of your mouth. It's like an animal gets into a snare. And you know what happens? Once you're in a snare, you've got no freedom. So basically, this is also saying that the words that we speak, if we don't speak life-giving words, will put us into a trap and take away our freedom. We lose our freedom because of what we say. You are trapped with the words you said. Past tense. You are ensnared by the words of your mouth. Folks, let's not allow our words to trap us. Let's not allow our words to take away our freedom. Another verse, Proverbs 18 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin. Say it again. A person that is a fool, that person's mouth, the things he says will ruin him. A fool's mouth is his ruin. His lips are a trap to his soul.
Verse 7.
Yeah. It says his lips are a trap to his soul. In other words, his lips are a trap to his life. His life, right? So a fool, these arguments and all his evil speaking will ultimately, you know, bring him to a place where he experiences ruin. Because of what he said. Right? Now I want to make this practical for us here this morning. Because we all know how to do it right. Is that correct? Eh? Krisha was in our bank the other day. And she said to me, thank goodness you didn't come with me. But I have to still go. Alright? And I was thinking about this. So this bank, I won't mention their name. So, okay, let me tell this. Let's say it like this. Say you go to your bank, right? You get there, and if it's like our bank, you're going to be standing in a big, long, fat queue, right? Waiting for somebody to help you that really doesn't want to help you, but you have to be there. Is that true? Now, while you are standing in the queue.
Sitting.
There's seats. Okay, you can sit. All right. So you're no longer standing, now you're sitting. Now you're sitting because they're so aware of the fact that they are so slow, they give you seats. All right. So now we're all on the same page. So now you're sitting in the queue. And while you're sitting there, suddenly you feel your throat is all scratchy. Suddenly you feel your ears are starting to go blocked. Suddenly you realize you're sniffing. Oh my word. Oh my word. What do you say? What do you say right there? Your nose starts running. Right? And unfortunately, you don't have a tissue, but you've got a chair and you don't want to get off your chair to go and get a tissue. So you're going to sit there and sniff. And your ears are ringing and your eyes are watering. Right? What do you say right there? Do you, while you are sitting, say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Right? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I am healed. I am the healed resisting sickness. Eh? And I'm the healed resisting sickness. Or do you say, I tell them, and you can't wait to tell the person next to you, you know what? I've got the flu. You know what? I've got the flu. Now I'm saying, folks, you know, there's something in man or and woman that we just, you know, if we've got a snivel, we can't wait to go and tell somebody. Huh? I've got the flu. Okay? The problem is we confess it. We speak it out. Here's the question. What comes out of our mouth when the pressure is on? And I was watching myself very carefully here this morning with what was going on here. I'll be honest. I was watching very, very carefully. Okay. What comes out of our mouths when the pressure's on? Is it the word of God, right? Or is it words that now give the devil a foothold into your life, and he gets a foothold in there, and he will do his utmost to convert that foothold into a stronghold? We've given him a license. Oh, I've got the flu. Oh, you know what? The scriptures I gave you last week. Those who say yes and those who say no are both right. So you go and tell the person sitting next to you, because you're in a bank that's got seats, that you've got the flu. And guess what? You have. Right? You've given the devil an opportunity to grab hold of those words, and he's not going to miss that opportunity. Folks, we need to, in those situations when the pressure's on, we need to speak life into our whatever it is. So don't allow him to come in and get a foothold into your life because of your wrong confession. We must not be moved by what we see. We mustn't be moved by what we feel. We need to be moved by what the Word of God says. And when the pressure's on, what does God's word say about your situation? And that is what needs to be coming out of our mouths. That we are creating, right, or changing situations, whatever it might be. Okay, we need to be those that get into a habit of this, that we start to speak faith, words of faith into our lives, into our situation, into the lives of our families, into the lives of those noisy neighbors of yours whose dog barks all night. Those guys. Right? We speak life, folks, into our situation. And again, the moment that you actually say something, like I said earlier on, you are creating. Jesus said, or God said, we have been made in his image. And that's how he creates. So, and we're doing exactly the same thing. So, you know, we either creating something that's good, or we're creating something that's bad. We're creating something that's positive, or we are creating something that's negative. But there is a consequence to the things that actually come out of our mouth. And I need to say this. In this regard, we are our own worst enemy. Is that true? Yeah. We are our own worst enemy. Again, we are snared by the words that come out of our mouths. Don't go talking about your problem. Don't go talking about your negative situation. Speak words of life over it. Speak words of goodness over it. Speak whatever is positive, what the word of God says over your problem. That's what we need to be doing. I can tell you right now, you could be experiencing a whole new sense of joy in your home, if this is the case, okay, by simply stopping talking negatively. Suddenly there's joy in your home. You're speaking just nice environment that we're in. You know what? Rather begin talking about what the Word of God says about your situation. Let's do that. But we have to make a decision, because, like I said last week, the path of least resistance is we just let it all hang out and we speak negative. That's the way we wired. And that's what the devil wants. Right? We have to change that, folks. And if you are always one that is talking negatively and always one that talking about your problems, don't be surprised if you are going through life where there is perpetual defeat, ongoing defeat. I'm telling you the reason for it. Let's change. Stop talking about the problem, right? Start talking about the solution. That's it. Okay? Don't speak words that defeat the positive, well, you know, the things. Because sometimes, well, I've seen this, where I've prayed for somebody, you stand in agreement, you pray in faith, and you believe and you trust in with that person. This has happened. You prayed, and then somebody, and it's for healing. They go, you're still earshot, and somebody says, how are you feeling? And they will start telling them, you know, how bad they are. I'm just saying. So don't speak words of defeat. We have to start speaking words of victory. Don't use your words to describe your situation. Start to use your words to change your situation. That's what we should be doing. And it's possible if we can get our head around this. So we have to avoid the negative talk. But I need to say this as well, that just avoiding negative talk is not always enough. Sometimes we have to be proactive in all of this. Sometimes we actually have to be on the offensive as well. For example, you might be facing sickness in your life, right? It's good that you're watching what you say, but sometimes you have to rise up and just start to make declarations. You know, start to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. We make that declaration. We are on the offensive, right? So we speak to our situation. And, you know, when we make these kind of declarations that I'm talking about here, all of heaven will stand to attention. All of heaven will stand to attention. Why? Because all of heaven will back up the Word of God. The angels will back up the Word of God. Of course, the Lord will back up His Word if we are speaking His Word. So if you require success, if you require victory, maybe it's wisdom or health or understanding or whatever it might be, right? Do what God's Word says. Let's start to speak, folks, life-giving words into and over the situation. Huh? This, what I'm sharing here today, is not a name it and claim it thing, right? Because people will... All straight away they start saying, well, this is name it and claim it because of what people do with money, when it comes to money. Folks, if God's Word says that you have not because you ask not, let's start asking. Is that right? And that's what the Word says. You don't have because you're not asking me, right? So we must start to ask God according to His Word, what His Word actually says. So we need to just be those who are extremely careful, that we're so careful in terms of what we allow out of our mouths. Okay, the spoken word, when we speak those words, like I said earlier on, you can't go and catch them. Oh, hang on, that word went to Gail. Oh, let me try to pull. It's done, right? You can't put it back in your mouth and kind of reverse it. That's just the way it is. So let's make a decision today here to stop speaking negative and destructive words over anybody. Let's learn. We have to teach ourselves now how to speak life over our friends and our family and speaking goodness over people, right? And as we do this, God will respond. God responds, okay? Jesus said that he came to give life. And he came to give life in abundance. And the word says here that we are, you know, ensnared, right? There's not life when you are ensnared by you in a trap. You can't get out of it. So let us make a decision today to be true ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. In what we say and also in what we do. And remember, your words and my words, every time we open our mouths, we're creating something. Amen. Amen.